Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why did I never get a survey, first of all?
Because I haven't ever... There was no need.
We didn't really date, did we?
No, well, we did date. We did date. We went on a few dates, but you were just so eager. You know, we didn't need to give you any feedback.
I was eager.
I told you on the first date. You were having,
I was eager.
You were an eager
beaver. Need I remind you of the time you dropped me home?
Oh, yeah, when I wanted to try to come in, you were having absolutely none
for
of
like
it.
For like a full hour. And
yeah, but I'd already knocked you in before. I couldn't understand. Hi everyone, I'm Jez Haskell and you are listening to Couples Quarantine Episode 9. I'm joined by my sexy fuck wife. No? Not buying that intro?
You told me earlier that I smelled like cabbage.
You do like smell like cabbage.
I don't. I had a shower, I put perfume on, I'm wearing moisturiser.
Yeah, you do, but there is always a faint odour of cabbage because you've got a high veg diet.
That's just not accurate at all. I don't even eat cruciferous veg.
Good luck with saying that word again. I want to first of all thank all the amazing feedback we're getting in Couples Quarantine because it's just you and me this week again. But we've had some amazing guests on. Jamie Lang and Sophie Habu have been on. Paul Doran Jones, my best friend, and Zoe Hardman, who's an absolute hero. Both hot. They came on and gave us advice on, relationships in terms of having kids, dating when you've got kids. So I think hopefully that's helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're getting loads of your emails in, which we really appreciate.
We've got some... celebrity fans.
We have got some celebrity fans. We've got Tom Wood, a former teammate of mine, who Chloe's got a real crush on. You can't stop smiling about him.
He messaged me and he was like, oh, I'm loving Couples Quarantine, by the way. It's really funny. And I was, I told James, I was like, I love all the photos of you topless making wooden tables, but I won't say that because I'm married and it's highly
Yeah, but Chloe's got a real thing about him because if you follow Tom Wood on Instagram, he's a real wilderness man. He's everything I should be, but I'm not. You know, bearded, I'm bearded and powerful, but really bad at DIY. I'm really bad at DIY. He's like, if there was an Armageddon, I'm going around to his house.
Oh my God, the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to Tom Wood's house. He will have the artillery. He will have the bunker, handmade, with his top off.
So thank you, Tom Wood, for listening. Really appreciate that.
Speaking of bearded.
Oh, yes. I've just started working with a company that's giving me my very own beer pump thing, Perfect Draft for Oktoberfest, and it's now beer o'clock every single moment of the day.
Not for me, I don't really like beer, but it's quite a novelty today. So
it is
I'll
quite
have
a novelty,
one.
We've had that.
I feel like beer, I don't understand how boys, especially rugby boys, will go on a social and drink like 20 pints in a night.
They're absolute fucking heroes.
But doesn't, yeah. I will have one like half pint and I feel full and foamy and furry inside my mouth and I just don't understand how you guys can do it all night. And like I burp a lot when I drink beer.
Yeah, that's super attractive. Really selling yourself on here. I tell you what, we had... Just going off Pete, well, first of all, we can drink beer because we love it and we're absolute men and we're manly men and that's what manly men do.
Do you really love it?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, but I quite like alcohol, don't I? I'm a big fan of a martini.
You're not a big,
you know,
you're not, you do actually like the taste of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. I do, yeah. But also, we don't seem to have offended many people at the moment, which is quite good because on episode 9, we're sort of waiting for someone to go completely mad. We don't think we've had a Daily Mail story yet.
I would say the last. Couples one we did without a guest.
Yes.
We were arguing. So
we're going to start this week's show, well, and it is a show, by the way. We put out on our Instagram, please give it a follow, at Couples Quarantine Pod, because we need some more followers on there. We asked you all a question. We said, we want to hear your dating app funny/horror stories. Now, we're a bit concerned by some of the things we got, because we can't even read them out. And if I can't read them out, how rank and bad must they be? And if that's an absolute demographic of our fan group, I really think we've got off on the wrong foot and maybe we should just can this before we've even started. Because
I would say 1 in 4 are readable, outable, and we got, let me see, about 80.
Okay, was sent a survey by a girl after a few months after a date, which is pretty interesting. I actually had a friend of mine, Tom Rees, aka Horse, who used to do that. He used to go on a date with a girl, and then after the date would send her a survey on things like, you know, appearance, kissing technique, humour, banter, all like, quite light-hearted. And actually, I got into doing that myself. I thought it was really funny. It was a nice little icebreaker. It was quite good, actually. And then what they do is they would then survey you back. So it's quite nice. It wasn't just a sharp face. I really liked it because, you know, it was a good way as well of letting them know that maybe the kissing wasn't up to scratch, or maybe they need to do a little bit more next time. And, you know, but it was fun. It was fun and friendly. I think it's not a bad idea. I think it's, how do you follow up on a date sometimes? Like, oh, a bit awkward over message. I think sending a funny survey, not like you looked hanging, go and sort your whole setup out. That's not good. But going, you know, I like the fruity shoes and you were an unbelievable kisser. Atmosphere of your date choice was pretty poor. You know, might suggest paintballing next time or something along those lines. Look how mortified you look.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Why did I never get a survey, first of all?
Because I haven't ever, there was no need.
We didn't really date, did we?
No, well, we did date. We did date. We went a few dates, but you were just so eager. You know, we didn't need to give you any feedback.
I was eager.
I told you on the first date. You were having,
I was eager.
You were an eager
beaver. Need I remind you of that time you dropped me home?
Oh, yeah, when I tried to come in, you were having absolutely none of it.
For like a full hour. And
I'd already knocked you in before. I couldn't understand. It's because you didn't want to, you know, I don't know why you didn't.
Eager beaver? What else happened? Who was eager?
Okay, I was a little bit eager. You know, you're fit. What can I say? I do think the surveys work. What would you think if you got a survey?
Okay, well, I was going to say, if you're not interested in dating that person again, it's probably a really good way to get some data and some feedback to work with.
Need data.
If you are interested, okay, what I was going to say initially before hearing your story was if I was interested in dating the person again, that would probably be like absolute red flag mental case city. But actually, if you're doing it in like a flirty, jovial way, fine. So it depends.
It's not a PDF of where they went wrong. And
it can be it can be serious if you're done with the person.
You wouldn't go, you've got massive amounts of cellulite, you've got a small moustache, your breath smells like cat food, and you kiss like you've never kissed before. You'd feed it in, you'd layer it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, fine. So survey says, if it's jovial, do it. It's a flirty, cute thing. If it's serious, only do it if you're not into the person, right?
Yeah, fine. But even then, if you don't crush anyone's confidence, don't go too hard.
Can I also say something controversial that coming from a woman?
Yes.
Which I am.
Are you?
Which I know is really
sometimes confusing. It's hard to know whether you're a woman or egg. Yeah.
That's my husband loves me. Yeah. I'm going to say something, and for some reason, it seems more flirty if it were coming from a man, and more psycho if it were coming from a woman, which only does all that sentence
reaffirm
does.
Stereotypes.
No, not reaffirm stereotypes. It proves how much we've been brainwashed into thinking like men are like the fun, jokey ones, and women are the psychos.
Yeah, I mean that is true though.
I hate to say it, but as a girl, I think that would be probably a really bad idea. As a guy, it would probably be funny.
Yeah, but only if the questions were written in a certain way.
My friend Max has this theory, and he goes, you know who Max is. Lenny's dad.
I know. Lenny's a dog, by the way.
Yeah, Lenny, who got really big, like, overnight. Anyway, he always says that it's funny. His opinion is that if people come from money, or they have money, and they're, like, slightly insane, people call them eccentric. But if people don't, people just call them mad, and it really annoys him.
Yeah. No, what you mean is if they come from money and they're mad, they're eccentric. Yeah. If they're poor, they're just mental.
I wouldn't use that phrasing, but yeah.
Okay, we'll get beat around the bush. But you say potato, I say potato.
But really annoys him, and I really agree with it, and I think it's the same with men and women. I think if women do things, often it can be perceived as mental, and if men do things, often it can be perceived as like, lols.
Yeah, we have had the lad culture chats. What's your next one?
Just dismissive.
Yeah.
This is something James would do, which is why I put a star on it. Turned up to the first date and she'd brought her parents with her.
Oh, punchy choice. But you know, once you're in, I mean, you invited me round for my first meeting with your folks, Richard and Doobie, off of the TV on Boxing Day with your whole family.
Richard
Doobie.
It was the headline when I got photographed smoking a bong. Great day for me. Bad day for my parents.
Bad day for your parents. Unless they were selling it to you, then probably a good day. I don't know.
We've had like half a glass of beer and both of us feel really weird.
I'm sweet, babe. You're all over the place. I think, yeah, and you on Boxing Day, I went straight and met the whole family. And I walked in and said, the whole place
went
quiet.
Bring them on a date. No, you okay, knowingly fine. Were invited to and came over to my parents' house.
And we couldn't get any feedback as to how that date went, but I can't imagine it went that well.
Yeah, well, so James used to do this thing where, like, when sometimes we would have, not sometimes, they would have, obviously, boys-only rugby socials, and then they would have, like, socials for the girls to come as well, which I'm sure they hated, but we loved. And James would often bring his parents. And both the players and the partners would be like, why are James's mum and dad at the social? And I'd be like, I don't know, it's just James.
Because they're actually heroes. Steve.
They were brilliant. They can keep up.
What's next?
We met in a bar. He was already drunk and had catfished me and then stole my hairbrush. Okay, just a few things here. Met in a bar. He was already drunk. That's something I would do. Look, I feel
nervous.
Yeah, I feel like you have to drink on a first date or it's just impossible to get through. Although, actually, you can talk about that in a minute, because I know that you would often have, like, one-night stands completely sober. And when you told me that, I was like, how? Know. I would be like, how did you do that? And you were like, oh, it's, like, more fun in the beginning. In the end, it got really boring, because the girl was always drunk. Oh, that sounds really bad.
Oh, that sounds...
I don't mean, like, drunk. I mean, like, obviously, you drink on a first date, because you're trying to... What's it called? Dutch courage. Yeah. Anyway, had catfished me. Hugely unattractive for men to do this. Men, we do not care as much as you do about how the opposite sex looks.
Could you actually submit your catfish stories? Because I think we should do an episode on catfishing. It's cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. It's cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. I'd love to hear catfish stories, because obviously there's that fantastic program about catfishing, and they were all... It was so weird.
Can I tell you? Yeah. Did you watch that series?
Yeah, some of
them. So you know there's two guys. Yeah. There's the guy with the brunette. What's he called?
I can't remember their exact names.
And then there's Max, the guy with the silver hair. Yeah. Oh, my God. I was obsessed with him. Like, I would, like have sex dreams about him every night. But I don't really know why, because he's not really my type.
Yeah.
I just loved him.
Lovely. Great to share that.
That was before I met you. Maybe I was going through a breakup, so I, like, had transcendence.
Yeah, or was it called transcendence, or was it transference?
Oh, yeah.
Transcendence is something very different, babe.
It's the beer talking.
Yeah. Oh, God, this episode's already a write-off.
I know, I love it. And then he stole my hairbrush. That's very odd.
But lads do sometimes take trophies. I've known lads take trophies, pair of knickers and stuff like that after doing
knickers,
a job.
Knickers, but a hairbrush.
Well, I don't know why you take the trophy, because, you know, like knickers, hairbrush.
There's a celebrity who I won't mention, who is known for... taking Polaroids, consented Polaroids of girls that he's shagged and puts them in a coffee table book.
Yes, I've seen a book though. I've seen a book by just a regular bloke who put a coffee table book together of, you know, and it's just a photo. They're not rude photos. I thought it'd be quite funny. I think it'd be quite good if you had that, just to relive some of the dreams or just see where you're at.
I think it, well, I don't know about for the reasoning, relive some of your dreams to see where you're at. Sorry, although we know that you keep stuff like that because we found it. By we,
yeah,
I mean me.
I don't think we have.
I mean, I think it's a very weird thing to do, but I think you're right in that, you know, that there are those art pieces of like found shopping lists from like around the world. Like, in a way, I kind of get what you're saying.
Because I had a mate who used to keep a diary. Until he got married and then he had to burn it. And if he listens to this, he'll know exactly who he is. And he kept a diary of, like, just short paragraph about what happened with each girl.
So I quite like that. Like, I would buy that as a stocking filler book.
Yeah, it was a bit graphic in parts.
Maybe that could be your second... Book.
What, me? But I can't remember anyone apart from you.
Shut up, James. In case anyone is looking, see now, the beer.
Oh, you've had a couple of sips of the beer. Grow up. You're absolutely fanny.
In case anyone is wondering what's happened to my finger, I moved the lamp and slit it open. So
Great. Right, any couple more and then we'll move on to some topics. I had a Tinder date back in January 14. Fast forward to today and we've been married for 2.5 years. Horror. Mate, I know exactly what you mean. I went out with this treacle for a little bit and I ended up being with her for 6 years. I don't know how that happened. I was an absolute boy about town doing bits and then... You just get when you meet the one, and you just can't, you know, and then you end up trapped. Look at that scathing eyes. Scathing eyes.
You've regretted that ever since.
No, I haven't regretted it.
Of course you haven't, because who would shut up? Okay.
Last one.
I was dating two girls who ended up becoming friends and have chosen each other over me.
Shut up.
Well, I feel like if you told them both that you were exclusive or you weren't dating other people, then I'm team them. But, if you told them that you would still that you weren't exclusive yet, then that's pretty deep.
Yeah, but surely there should have been some sort of three ball going on at some point.
Of course, that's where your brain goes. Mine well, too, to be fair.
I just think you should probably, you know, I would say, listen, girls, that's not a problem. You know, I'm really, oh, it's really hard emotionally, but can I just get in for just an hour of action? Just because it would make things, we all feel a bit better.
Do you have any fun threesome stories to share with the group?
I have never. I've never been involved in that.
You couldn't even say the first word without laughing.
I've never, we don't talk, don't you fucking start talking about any of that stuff.
Anyway, I've never.
Yeah. Right, Pinocchio, fucking hell. Right, I'll read the last one.
Oh, okay,
fine. Oh, you read it.
Yeah, you read it.
Okay.
My claw finger.
First date drunk, slept with a chap, and then... First date drunk, slept with a chap, and he strangled me. No prior consultation, bit much. That is yeah, interesting, actually.
Yeah, that's before you do shit
like
yeah,
that is interesting, because obviously, you know, after 50 Shades, there's been an upsurge of kind of people getting into fetish, all that kind of, you know, Anne Summers doing a range, everyone's doing a range of these kind of, you know, masks and whips and bits and pieces. And, you know, I think women quite, I'm going to caveat this, I think women like that literature because they like the idea of a powerful man taking charge, being owned a little bit in a consensual way. But you can't go around strangling a bird willy-nilly. You can feel it out, but you can't just go in for that. You fucking like that. I don't.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can ease into there, you know, just casually, like, layer the hand round.
No. Unless you are really, like, dating or in a relationship with that person, where you can either do it, like, feel it out, or ask.
Yeah.
There's no other option but to ask. Do you like it if?
Yeah. I mean, but I think that, you know, in the throes of passion, you know, you can sort of feel things out gently and just see, you know, because normally, you know, if you go sometimes, back in the day, a friend of mine told me about this, if you used to go for the old back door, that'd get a hand away. If you went for something, you know, people are quite good at saying that.
Yeah.
It's only if you force it's where it's wrong.
I would say, like, okay, so I would think if you literally just slept with this person, like, that night or once or a few times, you really need permission. If you're, like, fully, like, into a sexual relationship, then you can feel it out. But also, like, just understand that some women are going to say no. Like, it might spark something awful for them. And some women are going to absolutely love it.
I always got it wrong because I used to strangle them after we'd had sex later on.
That sounds more like you. But some women are going to love it. And my best friend like it. But then our two other friends are like, if a guy even touched my neck in that manner, I would punch him in the face.
Yeah, you can't just go and posing yourself on sort of woman like that. First date is a bit punchy. And I just meant that you can't just go straight for, you know, that's it's a bit much. You got to ask to get permission. I just meant there's ways and means of easing around, you know.
Just remember, guys. No means no.
Toy, it fucking 100% means no. That's it.
Tinder horror stories. Seeing my ex on there often. Yeah, babe. I remember when I've dated a couple of guys in the public eye, and having to read about them in their new relationships afterwards was a fucking...
punchy.
Yeah, it was not fun. And you've had experience with that. You talk about that in your book.
Oh, yeah. I got burnt a few times in the media.
Can you block people? I've never been on a dating app, but can you block people on it? Can't you just block your exes?
No, I don't know. I've only been on one dating app once, plenty of fish for a day.
And? Did you get plenty of fish? Did you catch
I didn't get plenty of fish. I went on, did a job, and then ran away, and I was like, and then...
One?
Yeah.
So the app didn't live up to its name?
No, it wasn't plenty just of fish. There was one small fish. And
how small?
Well, not that small. It wasn't like...
I always get jealous when you slept with tiny people because I'm quite a unit.
Pardon?
Unit.
Who's a unit?
Me.
Babe, you're absolutely not. Right, so what's the topic of... So that, we've put that to rest. Thank you very much for sending your horror stories. We will ask you some more questions. Please, the really weird kind of insane stuff, can we just keep to one side? Because we won't read it out and it's a bit rank. And that kind of worries me that people think like that.
We have a lot of very cerebral and articulate listeners, and we know that because of the emails we get. But some of the Instagram comments were slightly terrifying, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. And we would never read them out. Was it just you and Doris drunk for your lads' weekend?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just come back from a lads' weekend. That was good fun.
Yeah, except it wasn't a lads' weekend because loads of couples showed up and I wasn't invited because I was told it was a lads' weekend. So that was cool. Cheers.
Okay, so we'll move swiftly on from that conversation.
Beer sometimes smells like marijuana.
I wouldn't know what that smells like.
I would, because I was on the front page of the tabloid smoking a bomb.
Yes, you were.
And may I remind you, it was a good day for me.
It was a great day for
you. The best thing about it is that I'm like crying laughing as well.
God.
Hi guys, I'm a big fan of both of you and thank you so much for your podcasts. I'm really enjoying them at the moment as I drive to work as a radiographer in the NHS. Oh, good girl. First of all, I'd love to thank Chloe for getting me into weightlifting 7 years ago when I had no idea of it. I discovered her Weights for Women app, old school. Now I train 6 days a week. I'm a power lifter and I absolutely love it. Oh, that makes me feel so good. My mission in life is to get women lifting weights. Anyway, I had a date about a year ago that really got me thinking about the type of guy that I want to be with. I had about 3 dates with this particular guy who looked quite similar to you, James. Oi, oi, wink face. Sorry, Chloe. It's okay, babe.
Oi, she's not made of wood, though, is she, babe? Let's be honest.
I mean, I'd like to be made of Tom Wood.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, well, think don't make that, stupid comments.
Think about that strangling thing off there. Next to it, there'll just be a cardboard cut out of you.
I will. Is the subject Chloe open to choice?
What?
Huh? At first, things seemed to go really well and we were getting on like a house on fire. Isn't that always the way?
Yeah.
Having good discussions about things as well as a good attraction to each other. It wasn't until he basically started saying that I needed to work a lot less and get out a lot more. I was taken aback at first. I'm not a fucking hermit, but he knew that I was saving up for a house at the time, so I did find it quite offensive. I'm only 26. I realised that him and I had similar paid jobs, and now I look back at the situation, I think that actually he was just threatened by me and how hard I was working to become successful in my career and pursue my dream of becoming a property developer. Safe to say, I didn't date him again. I personally would rather be with someone who encourages me in life like my parents have always done with each other. I'm interested to know what your thoughts are on this subject with regards to salary snobbery. It's hard for me. And how important you think money and career is in a relationship. Thank you, Harriet.
I would say, look, I've always pushed you to be the most successful version of yourself. Mm-hmm. I think this is a massive one for me in relationships. And you know, I know for some men it's not an issue and they really think it's important for them to be the number one provider. I think unless you've got kids, I think both parties need to work. I think that women, everyone in life, especially men and women, they need a purpose, they need a direction, they need something that they own themselves. I think that if you end up having kids, yes, they'll take a priority, but even then, you need to have something that you can focus on and do that is completely yours, away from your husband, away from your kids, or away from your wife and away from your kids. And I think the most important thing is, by you working, it gives you mental balance, it gives you your own income, you feel successful, and I would always back you to do that. I think anyone who criticises you for doing work is wrong. I think there's always a work-life balance that needs to be had, and you always have to prioritise the relationship. We talked last week with Zoe and Paul about when you've got kids, you still need to pay attention to your partner, you still need to pay attention to your wife. And you know, I would avoid people who tell you not to work. I know there's some old school men that are like, no wife of mine will work. I think you're fucking idiots, and I think you're making your own bed, because hypothetically, if you have the kids, when you get home from work, all your wife's been wondering about what you've been doing all day. She's been with the kids all day, being an amazing mum. You come in the door, she's going to dump the kids on you because she's going to want a break. And if things aren't going well with the kids and things aren't going well with her, with you, with the husband, that's all she's got in her life, so she'll have a disappointment. I think it's really important that, you know, for example, if my relationship's not going well with you and my rugby wasn't going well, but I had other business outside, it still meant I had positives in my life. You need stuff. You need direction and diversity in life to allow balance. So the upshot is the guy sounded like a peen ass.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I second everything James said. I think there are some people out there who really need to, who are slightly more party people and who really need that in a partner, whether they're just dating someone or if they're in a relationship, and that's completely fine. And if you're much more career focused and, you know, you want to buy a house and you're obviously good with money, then that relationship probably won't work. Or to be fair, to play devil's advocate, it could work more because there's a nice balance of like, you know, that person makes me go out and have fun and enjoy life, and then I make them like strap in and save for a house and da da da. It could go either way. But yeah, obviously you guys just weren't compatible. The second thing I would say is I agree. I think unless there are children involved, pregnancy and young children, especially, you know, in infancy, they need taken care of, and it can be a full-time job. It is a full-time job. And if you don't have the money to hire someone to do it, then one of the parents, not necessarily the woman, but one of the parents has to take on that role. Aside from that, I agree with James. I think if there aren't kids involved, then, you know, working and having a good work ethic is part of having like a healthy mind and a healthy life and a healthy respect for life and society and the way things are. And if somebody isn't down for that, then yeah, me personally, I wouldn't be attracted to that man.
Because I also think there's, you know, three things in life you can control. I've told you before, you can control how you treat your body. We only get one of them. When it breaks and when it's done, you know, they say health is wealth. This current climate has shown that. Second thing is how you treat other people. You know, you got a choice how you treat other people. And the third thing that you can control is how hard you work and how you develop yourself as a person. And those are the only guarantees in life. And I think that if you are neglecting any one of those areas, you're cheating yourself out and making most of your life. And I think while relationships are important, having your own individual stuff, your own individual balance will actually make you a better partner and couple. And you should always support you. And I've never intimidated. I want you to be 100 times more successful than me. I want you to earn a fuck bucket load more money than me, because I want you to be successful. I'm not intimidated by it. Now, as long as I've got a job and I can earn every now and then, I could pay for stuff for you, I could treat you, that's all that matters to me. And, you know, you're very much, we go 50-50 on everything.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, which is very unique.
I think it is good for our relationship that we are really independent with work and with money and we go 50-50 right down the line. But I think now we've been married for nearly 2 years. Oh my God, nearly said nearly a year. There's been a shift in my mindset since we got married, where there is an element of me that James has his own house in the Midlands, where he retired from rugby, and I have my own like one bed flat in London. And now that we're married and, you know, we're very much have been living together for about 5 years, I kind of I'm ready to like take that next step, which I know people find weird because we've been married for nearly 2 years. But I'm ready to take that next step and kind of financially come together and buy a property together. Now, I want to be very clear. In my head, it should be buy a property together, have a joint account in which we pay for our mortgage, we pay bills, we pay for holidays, we pay for food, that kind of thing. But I would still want, separate to that, me to have my own account, you to have your own account, where, you know, say if you go on another boys' weekend, which I'm sure is opening.
Definitely is coming in. I'll
Where's my weekend?
I'll take you away for a weekend. I'll send you away for a weekend.
Where you could dip into that account, because I don't want you spending my, like, I work bloody hard and I don't want to pay for your, you know, crazy antics.
You do operate the policy, what's yours is yours, what's mine is yours.
No, but it's same for me. So if I went out to France to see my parents, I paid for my airplane ticket, I paid for everything. And I wouldn't expect you to contribute to that. Now, I think there is an old school, well, not even old school, there's just an accepted school of thought that, like, once you're married, everything is split 50-50. And I love that because I think it's important and romantic. But I think until kids come into the picture, I don't see why things should be 50-50.
I agree. I think, you know, obviously there's different situations and people have different things, but I think that if you come into something with a marriage, you know, that you should retain your own independence in certain aspects, but you should share, you know, I think it's a great joining of a couple together, and people do have different situations, but, you know, we've talked about wanting to do it, you know, the next stage for a while, but... Yeah. You know, I want to keep earning my stuff. I want to keep earning your stuff. But, you know, push comes to shove, we would look after each other at each time, at both times. But we know lots of people, lots of couples where one partner doesn't do anything. And I just don't see it as a great recipe.
I know a lot of rugby players who have said to their girlfriends and wives, I do not want you to work. Yeah. I want you to have our children and raise our children because you're the mother. And I will take care of that. Now, again, there's a part of me that loves that because it's like, I want you to raise my children. I picked you and I want that. And also, it's really like teamwork. Yeah. And I think it's quite romantic in a way. But then there's a new age feminist part of me which hates it because I'm like, well, I could easily turn around to you and be like, no, I will have our children. You will take care of the children and I will work. And that has to be an open-ended discussion, I think.
I agree.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Couples Quarantine. Now, I know, Chloe, you've been snooping around and actually worked out a little bit about what's going on today, but this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens, a comprehensive nutritional beverage.
Yeah, with so many stresses in life, it can be really difficult to get in enough fruit and veg, aka micronutrients that our bodies really need. But this is where Athletic Greens can help you out. Their daily all-in-one greens powder is easily added to your day-to-day life with zero worry or fuss.
Do you know what? It's actually really tasty because some green supplements are a little bit ugh, but Athletic Greens does an awesome job packing in 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including multivitamins, minerals, probiotics, green superfoods. I know I sound like an absolute keto scientist here, but of course I read the boxes. Mm-hmm. It was my daily reading for the day. It also increases energy and focus and aids with digestion and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need, I won't believe this, to take multiple products.
Athletic Greens is one formula based on the latest research, investing in absorbable and natural sources of each ingredient and going above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure that their customers receive the highest quality supplement.
It's lifestyle-friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, no thanks, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And I've tried this and I agree. I give it my Haskell seal of approval.
So right now, Athletic Greens will support your immune system during the winter months, and they're offering our audience a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
Sorry, did you say a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs?
Yes.
Can I claim that?
I'm sure you can.
I know it's insider trading, but all you have to do to win this incredible prize is simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and join health experts, Chloe, athletes, me, and health-conscious go-getters around the world to make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, for the Slow Reader Group, simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi guys, firstly, you guys are great, hilarious and fun together, thank you. James, the Good, the Bad and the Ugly podcast is awesome as well. Question for you to cover. Me and the lads were playing golf at the weekend and we were talking about lack of sex, especially since marriage, kids, etc. Well, you need to firstly listen to our last podcast, mm-hmm. episode 8 with Paul Doran Jones and the lovely Zoe Hardman. The question was, what do you think is an acceptable level during the week? And question 2, part 2 is, do you think the reduction in sex, especially for males, has an impact on mental health? We were saying that surely there is a link between male suicide and this transitional change in men's lives. Fuck. I mean, lads, that is a hell of a link.
Statement. You put
that
together.
Yeah. I mean, women go on about their bodies and hormones. However, do you think that women understand or try to understand men, especially testosterone? Do they understand the urge to have sex in males? We came to the conclusion that men try to understand women but can't because they're so fucking complicated and women don't even try. Help us as games master. We're stuck on level 1 and we don't think up and down, left, right, A and start together will work. Best regards. It's a reference of like the cheat code trying to unlock the girls. Well, firstly, lads, no, I don't think the lack of sex.
I remember when you had your privacy cover and your swipe code and... Anyway, carry on.
What has that got to do with this cover? I had a privacy cover because I ordered a screen protector and they sent a privacy one.
Listen to the lies.
It's not, they did.
It's public now that everybody they gets did. To listen they to did. The
they did.
Chat.
They did. It was an accident.
Yeah,
fuck.
I know.
No, I think firstly...
that when I stumbled on it.
Tripped up and fell on a dick. No, there is no link, I think, between that. I think that we talked about this on the last episode. There is kind of a huge stereotype out there that men want more sex than women. I think Chloe talked about it last time and kind of dispelled that a little bit. I think that, you know, look, it's not an easy thing to fix. I think that men... often when they have kids and relationships, you know, they forget that their wives are looking after the kids all day long and that, you know, they probably need to do more to try to, you know, encourage the relationship. Instead of like bitching about it on the golf course, you know, when was the last time you text your wife saying that you were attracted? When was the last time you got a nanny to look after the kids and took her just out on a date night? When did you last take her for away for a weekend? I think there's a bit more science to it. You know, it's interesting. I talk to my gay friends, especially men, and I always say to them, quite envious of the fact that, you know, you can just go up to another man and go, all right, mate, you're like, yeah, right, mate, you're like, you're fit, you're like, you're fit, yeah, fancy shag, yeah, that's, you know, and they joke and say it's as simple as that often. With women, it's a very different case of affairs. You know, men, you know, women need more things to start their engine. Yes, sometimes they just, you know, have the desire to do it, but I think it is interesting. I know there was a part... You know, what is the acceptable level during the week? I mean, I personally think, you know, 2 or 3 times a week would be pretty good, you know, pretty comfortable with. I think lives and stuff get in the way with kids. you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe twice a week, once a week. But I talked to someone the other day and they were saying that, you know, some people go months and months and months without having it. But I'm always a big believer in anything in life is looking at your side of the street and you go, are you really helping to make the situation work? Are you really helping trying to invest in your relationship? Are you doing everything to help your wife? And the answer is, if you're not, then no. And then the male suicide rate, the reason male suicide rate is up is because men don't talk about their problems. Men don't reach out to people. Men have this whole concept of, you know, when you've got little kids, right, and you have a boy and a girl and a little boy falls over, the dad goes, don't cry, don't get up, don't show the emotion, come on, you're a big strong boy. If the girl falls over, the dad comes over, gives it a hug and says you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's ingrained in us from an early age not to address those issues. So that's why. It's not because things dip. And the last bit was about the testosterone. Yes, men have a testosterone dip. There's a great book called The Ageless Man. You know, people do talk about that over a certain age, your testosterone level diminishes. It affects your sex life, affects your mental health, affects your hair, affects everything. And if you've got real concerns about it, go and see a doctor or a specialist, get tested. And if you need an endocrinologist, get a top up and see whether you need to do it. Because in America, it's a massive thing. Over here, it's not so much. But just as the women go through menopause, men go through a form of menopause. So there is something to look at in all those areas.
Yeah, we did actually touch on this already. Acceptable levels during the week is completely dependent on the individual and or the couple. So James would probably be happy with like twice a week.
Three times a week, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably like more than that, yeah. But that's because I have a higher sex drive. Do I think that the reduction in sex, especially for men, has an impact on mental health? If it does, which it might, I'm sure that it's quite surface in terms of your pride maybe being a little bit bruised, your belief in your relationship maybe being a little bit bruised. I don't think it would really go deeper than that. And I don't think there's a link between that and male suicide whatsoever, if I'm honest. Women go on about their bodies and hormones. However, do you think women try to understand men, especially testosterone? Yeah, I think you'd be surprised how many girls' dinners and girls' weekends I've had where somebody's been complaining about their partner, much as you're doing on the golf course, and the conversation will eventually culminate in, well, that's just men. You know, we know that you're different, and especially testosterone, we know, especially me because of what I do, it's kind of my job to know what testosterone does to a man in terms of decision making and drive and impulse. And I definitely understand that most men just want to have a lot of sex and can find monogamy harder for that reason. But it doesn't apply to all men. You came to the conclusion that men understand women, want to understand women, but you can't because we're so fucking complicated. We're not complicated, we're just more emotional. So things that don't mean anything to you, you probably don't understand why, but you should just understand that they do mean things to us. It's that simple. Women don't even try. Again, not true. Like, I've spoken to my friends about issues with James and they've been like, I think you're being a bit hard on him and that he's just a man. So, yeah.
A victim, they say that.
Yeah. Yeah, look, ultimately, we all come back around to the same point, which is that relationships take hard work. And the reason that they take hard work is because it's two completely different people, not only in terms of gender and hormones and the way that they see the world, but two completely different people in terms of just being different humans trying to have one singular life together as a couple. And there's a lot of headbutting that goes on and it can be really, really hard. But, you know, the trick is to kind of talk to each other, communicate to each other, accept that you're both different every step along the way and try to make each other happy. And that in turn should make you yourself happy, I think.
And I do think what I said as well in my answer, you know, it does boil down to, you know, women need more often than not, need more to get into bed than just going, want to fuck, babe? You know, and just trying to do it. You can't, you know, men think differently in those cases. There's much more emotional connection to sex on the whole for women, I find. You know, women often won't sleep with a man unless they've got, you know, I know they do, but I've felt in conversations I've had where, you know, it's a physical act for a man. They can't think clearly. They want to just go and do it. You know, for a woman, the act of penetration, everything else, it's more of an emotional thing, or so I've been told.
I don't think it's the act of penetration. Okay. I think it's that, although that might be true in the beginning, initially, like to actually let somebody.
That's what I mean. I'm talking about
in a relationship.
Yeah, but I just meant in general, it's harder to get a woman in bed than it would, you know, than, for example, get a man in bed. If you walked out of here and walked up to someone and went, "Do you want a bit, mate? Do you want a bit?" It'd be 2 seconds. If I went out there and go, "Want a bit?" Someone would call the police.
Yeah, but I would also say. I think also if you don't speak to your partner that well, and if you say things like you're always banging on about your fucking hormones like you did in the email, or you know, you don't make an effort to understand me and I'm trying to understand you, but women are all so fucking complicated. These things, I'm sorry to tell you, are quite disrespectful things to say to a woman. They're quite sexist things to say to a woman. And shock, horror, when you talk to a woman like that, she will shut down. She will sexually shut down from you. I know the times where I've actually managed to go, you know, periods of time without even coming onto you at any point has been because he said or done something that's made me be like, whoa, you way crossed the boundary there. And then I literally, like, the thought of having sex with him is like, I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Which is surprising because I am a cat.
And unfortunately for you guys, you then get angry that you're not getting it. And then you lash out even more and the cycle continues. But this is where communication is really genuinely so important to the health and the survival of a relationship. You need to say, okay, look, I said something and you're obviously pissed off, or we went through a bad week of arguing and clearly, like, it's affected our sex life. I'd like to get it back on track. How do we get past this? And that communication has to open up, and you have to let her be angry and say, like, you keep talking to me in a manner that I just don't find attractive, or whatever it might be. And then you can rebuild from there. But it's what Dawson and Zoe were saying last week. You're never gonna flip it if you don't like it without communication.
But I like the fact that they were on the golf course. You can imagine they had a few beers. And that's what, and, you know, they're all killing themselves because they can't get a shag. I can imagine that would be the conclusion after about eight or nine holes.
Do you know what I'm learning? Men are actually very dramatic creatures.
Yes.
As I get older, I'm like, whoa, the drama here. And
yeah, we've never been as dramatic as women, but we are quite dramatic.
I disagree.
Shock.
Okay, next one.
Okay. Hi, both. I've listened to your podcast from the start now, and the one thing that amazes me is your relationship, the trust and openness you both share. It's something I've always wanted to have, which leads me into the question which I find difficult to talk about, so I decided to disclose on a national podcast instead. Great work. I'm a relationship type of guy. Always have been. I love being with someone and sharing that love and connection with someone else. But one thing that ruins it every time, my biggest fault, is that I doubt myself. I doubt that I'm ever good enough and that she'll always find someone better. And so every time my partners in the past have spoken with other guys or looked over at other guys or whatever it is, I felt inadequate and end up overthinking it and getting really anxious and upset a lot of the time and end up arguing and even breaking up. I've never been possessive or told girlfriends that they can't do something or whatever, but instead just shut myself up and shut myself off. Because I fear I'll get hurt, which I have been in the past before. So my question is, what advice can you give me to deal with the emotions, to stop pushing my partner away and being comfortable with her speaking with other guys? Because ultimately, I want a healthy and open relationship with trust, which I just don't have. Thank you. You answer that first.
Well, first of all, I would say it's really normal to be an insecure person, because everybody is an insecure person. And second of all, I would say... I would say that it's your side of the street to keep clean. If you can't handle your partner talking to a member of the opposite sex, like, that is really controlling, and that's not quote unquote normal. Like, in society, it's just not normal. So you have to, this is something you have to work on with yourself and your insecurities, and maybe just speak to a therapist about these feelings that you're having, because I guarantee it's stemming from some trauma that you've had from way back when. And that's why you're freaking out. The second thing I would say is, however, that all being said, if a partner were to give you a reason not to trust them, that's their side of the street that they didn't keep clean, and you shouldn't feel bad for feeling insecure. If I had to venture a guess, and I might be completely off here, but I would guess that might have happened to you before, and that's what you're holding on to. So maybe just speak to a therapist about how to, A, kind of digest what has happened, whatever it might be, and then B, kind of implement behaviours that will help you in the future not freak out and not have an anxiety attack. But I will say that, you know, if somebody does give you a genuine reason not to worry, then I don't think that you should be too hard on yourself, although it sounds to me like you need to do a little bit of work on yourself.
Look, I think there's a couple of points here. I said, firstly, you know, I'm very comfortable with Chloe. I do get jealous, like everybody gets jealous, but I don't.
You do not.
No, I do not in an active way, but of course I do. You know, of course I'm not. You know, I love my wife. I love you. Sorry, you are the same people. I don't have another wife and you.
Wish.
Not this week, anyway. And I, you know, but I, for example, you know, we've got some friends. Some of them are quite touchy feely.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go and sit on guys' apps. You'll talk to people. You know,
you keep saying that. I cannot remember the last man's lap I sat on.
I've got a diary with notes and a PDF.
I just don't think that's true.
Right, fine. You're very flirty.
I am very flirty. I'm like tactile.
Fine,
yeah.
Very tactile and flirty. Yeah, just read a whole bag into it, right? But I don't get stressed about it because I. you know, I know you and I love you. But I also came to a conclusion very early on after having, you know, cheated myself, but also been cheating on a number of times. Some I had to read about in the paper, some I hadn't. And
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I basically realised that, you know, you can spend your whole life worrying about what someone is going to do to you and that someone's going to, you know, and that you can spend your whole time going through their phone, looking at their property, trying to control them, freaking out every time they talk to someone else. But ultimately, people are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I think once you come to that conclusion, the pressure just comes off you. You can only be the best version of yourself. And if someone decides to let you down or someone decides to cross a line, that's a reflection on them, not you, unless you are treating them badly. And again, it takes some self-reflection to understand that. But if you're the best version of yourself, if you're kind, loving, supportive, you know, if every time your partner talks to another man, then, you know, and you freak out, you're just making a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to push her further away or push him further away. So I think you need to come to that conclusion. Chloe mentioned going to speaking to a therapist. I think that's a really important idea to get some help with those things and kind of address it. I also think as well, you know, the men she's talking to, you know, do you fundamentally trust them? You know, I come from a very male-oriented background. I've seen some things that go on that probably shouldn't have gone on. You know, am I overly trusting with men? No, but I trust my wife. And of all the reasons I've just said, I kind of, you know, we'll let things unfold to a certain degree, but I've never had to step in. I've got a really, you know, I've got a very good friend of mine who is much more fiery than me, that has a much more clearer boundary. You know, I'd rather not cause a scene for no reason. But ultimately, as I said, you can't control how people act. And if you try to do that, you live a very miserable, insular life that ultimately breeds distrust in the relationship. You spend your whole life worrying about what your partner's going to do. You never live your own life.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the next question? Have you got anything to say on that?
No, I agree with that.
For the first time ever.
But then, okay, hypothetically, what did you do? You talked about having been cheated on in the past. So how did you rebuild the trust from there? Because the parallel there is this guy needs to learn to trust. You genuinely had been cheated on,
yes,
as I'm sure we've all experienced with a partner. How did you rebuild trust from that point? Because I would go as far as to say that you buried your head in the sand and pretended it never happened.
I think, look, there is an element of that. I think that, you know, when somebody says, when someone says I'm sorry and is contrite and apologises and goes through everything, you have a decision to make. You can either forgive them, but you don't really forgive them and sort of drag the whole situation. Or if you say you're going to forgive them, you sort of have to switch off certain things and go, I'm going to trust this person. Because it's very hard to do, and I think you're probably right. I did probably bury my head in the sand on certain aspects because
you chose to stay.
Because I chose to stay, and yeah. I think if you choose to stay,
but then do you feel like you had some issues left over from that?
I think I think if you don't address anything or just bury your head in the sand with anything, you're always going to have leftover bits and pieces that
checks
really
in
to,
the post. Is checks, what yeah. My friend calls it, which I love.
But I also think, you know, it's very hard, but people do make it through. Like you're an avid reader of that psychologist, the woman, what's she called?
Esther Perel,
for people who love and relationship. Esther Perel, you know, and sometimes talking out as a couple, addressing things, you know, understanding why a person cheated in the first place. If someone actually addresses it, makes it better, you can then move forward from that.
So let me ask you a question. So I haven't, you know, this story already,
yeah,
but this I think will be quite helpful for some listeners. So I had an ex who cheated on me.
Yeah.
You know the story.
Yeah.
And I decided to stay because I'm a big believer in, like, people fuck up and they make mistakes. Yeah. And, you know, I think you should always give somebody a chance after making a mistake. That doesn't apply to multiple mistakes, by the way. But anyway, and chose to stay and did it. But then every time we'd argue, he would bring it up and say that he didn't regret it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So then, and the relationship ended up falling apart because trust was just like irreparably broken.
Yeah.
So how would you then repair that? Like, how do you, it's very hard to regain trust, I think, if you've had it broken in the past. Or if it's been broken in the relationship.
So you can't ever control someone else's behaviour. You can only look at yourself and go, what am I doing? So was I trusting? Was I giving? Was I doing everything I could do? Had I actually forgiven him? Whatever those things. Because, you know, if you try to project as to why this person's acting like that, you know, if the person's just an arsehole and just kept volunteering that for no reason, that's one thing.
Everybody has to keep their side of the street clean or take responsibility.
Just before we go on to the last question, if you want to get your question answered on our podcast, we're going to get some experts in. We've had Emma Sale in from Killing Kittens. We've had some celeb couples on. We're going to get some more experts in. But if you send your questions to cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. That's jameshaskell.org. And we will read them out and answer them. They're anonymous, so don't panic. We won't read your names out unless you desperately want us to. And we're going to keep exploring different areas of relationships, love, sex, and just try to dispel this whole nonsense about couple goals. People talk about Chloe and I being couple goals, but you know, we just want to give people honest feedback and give us a view from a man's point of view and a woman's point of view. And we sometimes come together and sometimes we don't.
Yeah. Okay, this is a good one for James to answer. Hi, James and Chloe. One thing I've always worried about and could use some advice on is going into my first long-term relationship. I'm in my late 20s now and I've been on and off Tinder and other dating apps meeting a few people, but never really gone out more than a few times. I have never been in what I would call a relationship. And now I just worry that I do not have the experience of what is needed of me. Aww. The few girls I posed this to, it was an instant turn off, the idea that I had never been in a long relationship before. Should I just keep it to myself and just try to keep things going? Thank you for all of your podcasts, Jed. I love the name Jed.
I mean, firstly, I don't think, if you're late 20s, you haven't been in a relationship, I'm not sure you need to volunteer that to women. I think honesty is key, but, you know, people are very judgy, and I think that's probably something you just need to keep to yourself. I think not having had a relationship actually is probably quite a good thing, because you haven't picked up any bad habits, you don't have any preconceptions of what a relationship should be. I think you can go into it really open-minded, you haven't probably been burnt, potentially. And I think that, I think it could be seen as a real positive, and that's why you should think of it. As I said, I necessarily wouldn't share it with people. But I think you shouldn't be scared of going into a relationship, because nobody knows how to have a relationship. There's no guide to having a relationship. You know, you feel your way out. I think there's some cornerstones of a relationship which are really important, which firstly, communication, fun, a balance. So, you know, you should always look at relationship and see, is your life better with that person than without them? The reason I married Chloe is my life is always better with her than without her. Raising her eyebrows. It is true. And that makes a really big difference to me. So I think...
trust?
Yeah, trust. Sorry, trust is a really important one as well. That's what I fucking mean. I forgot the trust. She's like that. Yeah. And I think those are really simple building blocks and foundations for a relationship. I think just go into open mind and be excited if you meet the right person. Don't look for a relationship. You know, people always fuck up when they look for a relationship. Be the best version of yourself. Get your stuff on lockdown. And then before you know it, a girl will come across, will be right, and you'll go and have a thing, and stuff will organically develop. But there is no rule book, there is no right and wrong. There is certain wrongs, but you just need to have confidence to go into it, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I would not be put off dating a guy if he hadn't had a serious relationship in his late 20s. I would definitely question it privately to myself. I would, you know, it's the kind of thing I would just sit in the bath and think about for a few minutes and be like, that's interesting. But it wouldn't make me not see you anymore. And I find that, to be honest, if I were you, I would find that quite off-putting that a woman would be like, no, not interested. Like, that's a bit unfair. The second thing I would say is I look back on my first relationship. I fell madly in love with someone when I was 16 and I was with him for 5 years. And I compare it to my marriage now. And there are two big differences here. One,
he's happy.
Rude. One, what are you doing?
It's fully a funny face, sorry, yeah.
One, I am not as quick to argue or lose my temper, because I think, I'm not a teenager anymore, and I don't have that. I don't know, I guess that kind of volatile nature like I used to have. So like more, I'm more open to having like a calm, communicative conversation now. And two, I'm not so scared of it ending, because I've had relationships that have ended, relationships that I really didn't want to end and they did, and that was really painful, and relationships that I did want to end and they did, and that was also pretty painful from a different perspective of like guilt and whatever. Other than that, everything's the same. You fall in love, you know, you may be a little bit jealous at first, that'll probably wear off after a period of time. You have, you know, your first argument, which is horrifying, and then that feeling of horror wears off after a period of time. You learn somebody else, and it always just kind of, like James said, it will feel its way out. There's no rule book to this kind of thing. And, you know, yeah, I think it should be just as off-putting to you that they'd find that off-putting. If that makes sense.
Agreed. But with a name like Jed, I imagine he's been locked on a farm for like his entire life and he's just ventured into the big city. All right, everybody.
My hairdresser's called Jed and he's London and fabulous.
Yeah, that's quite a fash name, isn't it? He probably wears like rides around on a fixie bike with his nan's jumper on and a pair of like black rimmed glasses and a absolute schlick lid.
Who, my Jed?
Yeah.
He does have a schlick lid.
Yeah.
He's salt and pepper and got beautiful blue eyes. Perfect. And if I was a gay man, he would be top of my list.
Excellent. Well, look, that's all we've got time for this week on Couples Quarantine. That's episode 9. I'm James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Moodley.
If you want to give us a follow, please do on Instagram at Couples Quarantine Pod. We're also on Twitter as well, Couples Quarantine Pod. Give Chloe a follow on her Instagram, which is Maidy Chloe. And mine, which is at James Haskell. We will be back next week. I'm not sure we've got a guest. We'll find that out. If you want to submit your questions, then do to cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. Anything to finish with, Pete?
No.
Love you.
Love you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.